If the message will be boring to you, then you should not blame Martin, but blame me, because he gave me free choice, so I choose this topic. when I prepared the sermon, I thought it would be nice when you turn in groups and share with each other what success means or can mean to you or generally. But I think it will take too much time, and so we will skip that part. Success. Everyone, young or old, poor or rich, male or female, desire it. Everyone here wants to be successful. There are different aspects of success, in the material aspect, in the intellectual part of our life, or social. So there are different aspects of success. For parents, for different people, success means different things. For parents, maybe that children grow up well-behaving and good in school. This would be success. For students, having good marks and making good exams. Or for business people, making good profit. Or for criminals also. What do you think is for criminals the highest success? Yes, that the police will not get them, then they are successful. Okay. The world's definition of success is what you possess. If you possess a lot, then you are successful. This is what the world tells us. Yet the world's definition of success is inevitably leaving many people like failures. When this type of success is attained, it is intoxicating and, like any drug, addictive. However, it never completely satisfies. No matter how much you have, it is never enough. The crucial factor that determines whether we feel successful or like failures is our definition of success. An angry and frustrated man in strife with his brother unashamedly brings a family quarrel out to the public. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus, with X-ray vision, penetrates the exterior image, and he refuses to arbitrate, zu schlichten, and goes straight to the heart of the matter. Possibly the man might have been treated unjustly, but Jesus perceives that there was a more deadly threat. The heart issue is greed, the desire to acquire, the obsession with possession. And the cause of that greed is the wrong definition of life, sense of worth, and success. Jesus turns the dialogue into a teaching opportunity and warns, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." This he tells the crowd around him. Now, how are you doing in guarding your heart against all kinds of greed? Are you aware where you are vulnerable to greed? One of our pastors in Nairobi told us some years back that he had spoken to many audiences in the US, in Australia, and in Nairobi on this subject. And he had asked, "How many of us in the past few months have confessed our sins of greed?" Always only a few hands would be raised. And if I would today ask a question here, I'm quite sure that not many hands would be raised. And I'm not only talking to you, I'm talking also to myself. Why is it? Is it really that we are all doing so well in this area? I'm convinced that the greed and envy are pervasive, durchdringend, but very tricky and catches us unawares, unbemerkt, like a deadly cancer. Often we think sometimes politicians, land grabbers, or business tycoons, or criminals are the greedy ones. We are therefore blind to our own greed and our need to confess it or to change. Yet, yes, there are some who can never stop heaping up. I just read about the CEO of General Motors, the biggest company in the US. He earns $66 million a year. But his colleague of the biggest savings bank of America, the Washington Mutual, which collapsed recently, after only 3 weeks in office, got a, how is it called, severance pay? Abfindung. A pay of $12 million. A good income, isn't it? 3 weeks, $12 million. That sounds good. When I hear this, I tend to think, well, these guys are never able to spend all that money. And I don't want to be a millionaire, but only a little bit on my account. That would be nice. So, what do you think? Is that greed? Is it need? Need and greed, these two words sound similar. And it is sometimes not easy to distinguish. Where are still my needs? And where does greed start? What gives greed such a power? Why is it so difficult to be content with what we have? I believe it is because too often we define our lives, our sense of worth, our value as a person according to what we possess. We define success according to our possessions, not only material, also intellectual, and so on. Mr. Buffon, a successful businessman who owns a multi-million cable television company, puts it this way. We secretly, or not so secretly, enjoy comparing ourselves to others. It's all part of the need to measure success. And even though you inwardly know that making a lot of money or holding a prestigious position is not what gives you worth, you still get deluded into thinking it does. Jesus underscores the danger of measuring success by one's level of possession by stating, "A man's life or a woman's life does not consist in the abundance of his or her possession." The New Living Translation says, "Real life is not measured by how much we own." Jesus knew this was a difficult concept to grasp, what he said. And to illustrate this truth, he told them the parable of the rich fool. This parable clearly illustrates the bondage that comes with the world's definition of success. Now, Sarah, you give us the whole portion of scripture.
As Rudy already started, today's reading is from Luke 12, chapter 12. Verses 13 to 21, that's in the Church Bibles on page 1045. Page 1045. chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. This is the word of the Lord.
Defining our success or self-worth according to our net worth leads to frustrations and restlessness because it is a moving target. No matter how much you have, there's always somebody with more. And on your and my bank account, there's always some space for something more. I never heard somebody saying, "My bank account is now full up to the top and there's no space for anything to be added." Consider how much money it would take for you to feel happy. I can tell you. Just a little bit more. Marketing works overtime to feed our greed, that permanent desire to acquire, the obsession with possession. Earlier, I mentioned the pastor in Nairobi. He and his wife have trained their children not to watch advertisement on TV. They usually did not allow them to watch TV live, but chose to record programs instead. Thereafter, when they were watching the video, their firstborn Eric, then he was about 8 years old, was armed with a remote, and soon as adverts came, he had to fast forward. The first time he watched an advert, he received a warning. And if he failed to skip another one, the program was switched off for the next day. The parents explained their reasoning to him that adverts are there to make us unhappy. Their explanation went something like this: "Eric, when you are watching the cartoon or movie, you are happy. But when you watch an advert, such as for a new toy, suddenly you become unhappy. You forget the many toys you already have and the cartoon you were enjoying before the advert. And all you can think of is the new toy you don't have. Then you come to me and harass me to get the new toy shown in the advertisement. I too become unhappy. Then we are all unhappy. Why would you watch advertisements?" Well, when our children were young in that age, we didn't have that problem with TV because we never had one. But you parents, does this make sense to you? I think it does. Bill Hybels, in his book Honest to God, asserts, the media feeds our propensity for self-indulgence und die natürliche Tendenz, Nachsicht gegen uns selbst zu üben, nachsichtig zu sein. Ne? Television invites us into the glitz and glamour of affluent lifestyle, wohlhabendem Lebenswandel. And Bill Hybel says, I wish someone would study the correlation between hours of TV watched and dollars of debts. Den Zusammenhang. Notice that in the parable of the rich fool, 9 times this man says, I, myself. Was there no else in his life? Such a heartrending portrayal of a man who had an abundance of possessions but was empty of meaningful relationships ought to be a warning to us. Sometimes wealth can sow seeds of independence from others that will bear fruits of isolation and disconnection. When God blessed the rich fool with plenty of harvest, why did he not consider, whom can I bless and share this harvest with? Were there no workers he could reward? Were there no poor, needy, or needy people in his community? Wealth can harden our hearts so that we become insensitive to the need of the poor. It can delude us into thinking that we have come that far on our own and therefore deserve to enjoy the fruits of our labor on our own or at best with our family members. I'm not saying that all rich people are stingy, geizig. Praise God that he opens the hearts of rich people also. Just to mention one example in Germany, Mr. Deichmann. You know that name. You know the shoe shops in town. Mr. Deichmann is a millionaire and he is a follower of Jesus. He spends a huge amount of his money for big projects in the third world. He builds schools and orphanages, especially in India. So, if you buy shoes at Deichmann's, you do not only get good material for a fair price, at the same time you support also his project. Back to success. Ken Blanchard, the author of several best-selling books, including The 1 Minute Manager, says, success breeds ego. And for him, ego means we edge God out. We put ourselves rather than God at the center of our life. The warning to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8, before they enter the promised land, is relevant to all of us today. Although this warning is about 3,500 years old. Let me read some verses. This is what God says to his people. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. And then later, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Are we convinced that we are fully dependent upon God for every breath we take. We do not need to wait for a serious sickness or accident to be convinced of this truth. As we think about all this, God is inviting us to resist the independent mindset of the world and to voluntarily submit our life to Him and relax in Him as our Heavenly Father. Jesus directly contradicted the worldly definition of success. According to Jesus, success is not what you possess, but what you are. The last sentence in our text this morning is, to be rich towards God. What does this really mean? A father asked his children, what does success mean? Then his six-year-old daughter looked pensive, gedankenvoll, and then tentatively said, to trust God? Six-year-old girl. Well, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The world highly values independence. To be your own person or to rule your own destiny is what most self-help books recommend. Godly success begins by depending on God. The paradox that the world does not understand is that the more dependent I am upon God, the more successful I am. When we are in need or struggling with sickness or weakness, and we depend not on ourselves but on God, we are actually pleasing Him. Often we feel like failures when we are needy, but this is what God wants for His children, to be totally dependent on Him. I am most successful before God when I am most dependent. Before God calls us to do, He calls us to be His child. When we forget this, we run into many problems such as anxiety, restlessness, frustrations, burnout, and pride. When we fulfill our highest calling as His child, then from us will flow rivers of living waters, as Jesus promised, that will give life to people around us through whatever occupation we do. We will not see ourselves as the source, but as channels of His life and love. Let me close with a prayer from Proverbs. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of God. May the Lord bless you.